And other children for the children's message can come forward. Good job. That happens. Hi. Oh, you're going to go wherever you want to go. Can anybody tell me what I'm holding in my hand, Ryan?
It's like a type of brown mold, like when you pass stuff down, like when people are on pews.
Okay, so it's a brown plate that gets passed down when people are in pews. Yes?
It's for giving money of donations.
It is for giving money of donations. Excellent. You got something to add?
It's offering.
Offering, donations, tithes. One more thing.
And giving.
So it's an offering plate that during the service, the ushers will come down and they'll pass these back and forth, and people can put in their offerings, their donations, their giving, their tithing. And pastors are not supposed to do anything with the money of the church. We're supposed to let everybody else take care of that. And so I have an offering plate of money, but it's from my own wallet. So I'm not, playing the treasures in the sanctuary somewhere. This is my own. It's okay. All right? We have things in place. People give in offering envelopes. There's a $20 bill in here. There's several ones. There is even a few quarters. And there's even, do you have those at your house? There are even several little pennies. Now, what would be the most?
$20.
Is it $20 would be the most or a penny?
A $20 bill.
A $20 bill? You're disagreeing with that, Ian?
No,
you're agreeing with that. $20 is the most, and a penny would be the least. A penny is a one, it's 1 cent. Well, I want you to think about the little penny, because in our gospel reading this morning from Mark chapter 12, Jesus was at the temple, and he was sitting in the background, and he was kind of watching people pass through, and they were putting their offerings, their giving, their tithes, their donations into the temple treasury. And there were several people that were rich, and they put in large sums of money. And then there was one widow lady who put in two small, thin coins. That's okay. She sat there a while. She put in two coins that were even less than a penny. And Jesus called his disciples over because he noticed what the widow put in. And Jesus said, she put in the most. Then all the other offerings by the rich and everybody else, the widow who put in two thin, small copper coins put in the most. I'm not asking a question. And do you know why Jesus said that? Now I'm asking a question. Do you know why Jesus said that, Layla? Excellent. Excellent. Now there are three children up here that are going to preach a sermon someday, okay? Good answer. You know this story where she gave all she had because she had it in her heart to give to the Lord. It's not the amount that is given. It is the sacrifice. It is the willingness of our heart to give to God. And that's the lesson of the day, our heart. It's not about the money. It's about our willingness to give. Those of you that came up here and sang, you gave of yourselves as you sang. God wants our hearts to be able to give to him to be a blessing in his kingdom. Let's pray. God, we thank you for these children. We thank you for those that were able to sing for us this day. And Lord, we just pray that their families and the churches that they're a part of will raise them up to love you with all of their hearts. In Christ we pray, amen. Thanks for coming up. I did not count.
Well, I hope you do, and then tell me.
It's all I have for the hockey game tonight. I should say that the extra ticket that is now gone, that extra ticket came from Sharon Von Dalen, who can't go because she's in the hospital. So we can be praying for Sharon as well. Let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for this time to worship, and we thank you for this time to bow in prayer before you. Lord, we thank you that you have given your Son, that Jesus went to the cross giving of his entire self, that he died on that cross for the forgiveness of all of our sins, the sins of everyone of all time. What a heavy weight and a heavy burden that was, but that's how great your love is for us. And we thank you for your love, and we thank you for your great heart for us. And Lord, I pray that through the understanding, the teaching, and the living of Scripture, that our hearts would grow and that we would willingly give of ourselves, whether that's our offerings or our time or our talents, to give those to you freely, without compulsion, without being forced to, but simply because we love you and we want to share your love. Lord, we pray for all who have gathered this day, all who have connected in. We pray that they would know your peace. And Lord God, as we gather this morning in this time of prayer, we turn to our list of concerns. We pray for Sharon as she's been hospitalized once again, and we pray for her healing, for her peace, and for her strength. Lord, we pray for Elaine Winsler and her family upon the death of her father. We pray for Kurt and Kay and their family upon the death of Kurt's brother, Terry. We pray for Sue Roofer and her family upon the death of her brother, Marshall. Lord, we pray that all will know your peace and know the understanding of the promise of everlasting life through belief in Jesus Christ as Lord. Lord, we pray for the blessing of healing. We pray for the blessing of healing of mental health. We pray for the blessed ministry of the Archbold Fish Pantry and all the people that they are to connect to and share the love and the resources of Jesus. Lord, we pray for the outing for many in the church going to the hockey game. We pray for the program before the game of the speaker and those players who are going to share their testimony. Lord, we pray for the search committee who had two interviews yesterday, and as the committee ponders and discerns, we pray for your will to be accomplished and pray for the committee moving forward. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for gathering us together, and we pray that as you hear our voices in song, you now hear our voice in prayer as we pray the prayer of our Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
And I invite you to rise as you're able as we sing Seek Ye First. It can be found on page 42 in the red hymnal, or the words will also be on the screen.
And all these things shall. sermon scripture is taken from Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything all she had to live on." This is God's holy word.
Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your written word. We thank you for its truth and for its revelation, and we pray for attentive ears and willing hearts to listen this morning to give you the praise and the glory. Amen. I read about a mother who wanted to give her little daughter a faith lesson, and she gave the daughter a quarter and a dollar bill for church and told the little girl to put whatever you want in the collection plate and keep the other for yourself. So when they were coming out of the church later in the morning, the mother asked her daughter which amount she had given. "Well," said the little girl, "I was going to give the dollar, but just before the collection, the man in the pulpit said that we should all be cheerful givers. And I knew I would be more cheerful if I gave the quarter. So I did." The little girl had heard from the man in the pulpit from 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, but she didn't grasp the true point of that scripture. Each one should give what he has decided to give in their heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Here are some wise and thought-provoking, at least I think, one-liners about giving. Give according to your income, lest God make your income according to your giving. By Peter Marshall. God judges what we give by what we keep. God judges what we give by what we keep. From C.S. Lewis. I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give, for I am afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare. And finally, from Mother Teresa. If you give what you do not need, it isn't giving. If you give what you do not need, it isn't giving. With those thoughts as a background, I want to point out that there is an error on the sermon outline on page 5 in the bulletin. If you follow that, the sermon citation, the verse citation says Mark 12, 27. I realized this morning it should be 11, 27. So the passage is right. The citation was wrong. Jesus and his disciples, they had arrived in the city of Jerusalem. And it was the final destination for Jesus because in the coming week it would be his final part of his earthly journey amongst the people. The events of the Lord's final week were about to unfold. And upon their arrival in the city of Jerusalem, Jesus does what is customary to him, and he goes to the temple. And the temple is a very large and magnificent structure. It's comprised of both enclosed buildings and open-air courts. And there are two outer courts known as the courts of the Gentiles, and one of the inner courts is known as the court of women. And so named, not because it was only for women, but it was so named as the court of women because women could not go beyond the court of women. Beyond that would be the altar and the holy of holies in the most holy place. And the women couldn't go any further. And so in the court of women, there were both men and women. And the court of women contained 13 collecting boxes or containers described as being shaped like the horn of a trumpet. And these receptacles were where people dropped in their donations for the temple treasury and also their offerings for the sacrifices. And here's an image of what that might have looked like. You can see in this first image, the women's court was a very public place. What you dropped in or threw into the collecting boxes was certainly able to be noticed by others. The second image shows smaller collection containers, maybe more in the size of the bell of a trumpet. But it was in this setting that Jesus sat down as he watched the people putting their money into the temple treasury. And if you have good enough eyesight, you can see in the background the man sitting on the steps with the white robe and the red sash depicts Jesus in this scene. And he's observing what is happening. And he might have sat down there, some people believe, he might have sat down there at this time to kind of rest up from the tense arguments or debates or conversations he had just been having with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Herodians, and the teachers of the law. And as Jesus sat there, he noticed what most, if not all others, would have paid no attention to. Instead of noticing the rich who were throwing in those large amounts of money, Jesus noticed the exact opposite. Jesus saw the old widow dropping in just her two small, thin copper coins, the smallest of all coins, worth just a fraction of what we know today as a penny. This third image is a close-up view of what Jesus was watching. Here you see the aged widow with her wooden stalking, walking staff in one hand, dropping those two small coins as a man is nearby ready to drop in his own offering, which presumably would have been a much larger gift. That's all there is to notice in that scene. That's what Jesus saw. It's not a parable. It's an actual occurrence that Jesus witnessed. A widow dropping in her small, small offering. We don't know anything else about that woman, but Jesus does. Jesus knows. He knows that the widow has given everything, all she had to live on. Now, the Bible doesn't say how Jesus knows that about that woman, but we know that Jesus is indeed God's Son, and he has all wisdom, and he has all knowledge. It was a discovery devotional from a few years ago that caught my eye about this short but very meaningful passage from Mark chapter 12. The devotion made the point that it is a challenging story for those who live in the Western Hemisphere to understand. That most of us have never known what it means to give in a way that really and truly hurts. I was particularly struck by the thought the devotional shared that we rarely give enough to affect our diet, let alone leave us hungry. In the first time in my adult life, I am having a professional do my taxes this year. It's getting a little bit complicated with some other things going on. And as part of that, we've had some major out-of-pocket expenses this year, and I have to account for that. So I printed off all 12 months of our checking account, and I can't show my wife that because she would see all the different debit card times I use to get fast food lunches and dinners. I will show it to you. I'm just joking. But when I read that thought from the devotional once again, rarely give enough to affect our diet, let alone leave us hungry, it has challenged me. I've only been to one fast food this last week, not the normal five or six, just one. And I'm trying to watch that diet and money, use it for more important stuff. I have been to Dollar General four times in the last week to buy things for the church, and not once did I buy a candy bar. I'm trying. But in reality, humor aside, do we ever really, truly give of what we have? I believe that's a good train of thought when considering the story of the widow's offering. The widow had two coins. She dropped both coins into the temple treasury. Everything she had to live on, Jesus said. But why? If it was everything she had, why didn't she drop in one coin and keep one coin for herself for the next day or the next week? But she didn't. She dropped in both coins. She gave her all. Remember the words of Mother Teresa. If you give what you do not need, it isn't giving. That's a pretty extreme example this woman has set before us. Of all the people in the women's court that day, Jesus did not point out the large sums given by the rich. But Jesus, his vision, zeroed in on the one who gave the smallest gift, who gave the least amount. And it was such an important glimpse into sacrificial giving that Jesus called his disciples over so he could show that to them, he could talk to them. This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. I read that that word can be taken collectively, and that that widow put in more in the treasury than everybody else combined. It's a major contrast. It's an exaggeration of perspective that's meant to capture our attention. And with that thought in mind, it is clear that Jesus wasn't thinking about the amount of money given, either by the rich or by the widow. For Jesus was focused in on the spirit in which the donations were given. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. I want you to think about what Jesus is saying. Why we give is more important than the amount given. Jesus was not looking at the two coins. He was looking at the faithfulness of the widow. Jesus was aware of what that sacrificial gift meant to her. You got to remember, Jesus doesn't think like we do. We don't think like he does. 1 Samuel 16:7, and how God thinks. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So where is our heart? Where is your heart? Where is my heart? Do I give out of sacrifice? Or do I give out of compulsion? Are we willing to go without the pleasures of life? Are we willing to forego the pleasures of life, whatever they might be? Can we go without that? What did it mean for that woman that she gave all she had to live on? In thinking about today in our world, I wonder how people have come that gifts should be coerced. We talked about it recently in some different small groups about advertising. What they put on the TV or in the newspaper or magazine or online, they're playing upon the emotions of people. That's a kind of coercion. Do we give because we're going to get something in return? Do we need an incentive to give? Not according to Jesus Christ. As Jesus knew the widow, and Jesus knew her life situation, Jesus knows us. And Jesus knows our life situation. He knows our hearts. And it's always an opportunity anew to give our hearts to God, our full hearts, our sacrificial hearts. William Barclay, author of many, many commentaries of the books of the Bible, William Barclay would say, giving which is real giving has a certain recklessness about it. Giving which is real giving has a certain recklessness in it. I think that widow was pretty reckless. She was willing to put it all in there because she trusted the Lord would provide. Used to lead some of those trips down to Tijuana, Mexico, and we would go out to eat at a seafood restaurant. or a place for the tacos and all that kind of good stuff. And we never really wanted to split up the bill. And so it was just one bill, and everybody just put on the table what they thought they ate. Recklessness in giving. And somehow, because I always had to pay the bill, I always had $100 or $200 left over, and nobody wanted that money back. And that was my example of being reckless. Have you been reckless? There was one person at 8 o'clock service that I remembered, you know, long ago, 10 years ago. I went through the DQ line, and the person behind paid for, or no, the person in front of me, it doesn't work that way. My son caught that real quick. He's used to that. Person in front of me paid. You know, that's kind of reckless. Now, he recognized me, I believe, but have you ever done that? You read about that. I know some people that have done that. That's somewhat reckless because you really don't know how you're helping. Giving, which is real giving, has a certain recklessness about it. And then we have the ultimate example of real giving, sacrificial. Jesus gave his all on the cross. And I believe part of the intent of Jesus calling his disciples over and calling us into this story is that our hearts should be so willing. Praise be to God. Amen. So you have a little message on giving to the Lord, and now we have that time of collection. Don't think about immediate response. That's welcome if you want, but we do invite our ushers to come forward and receive our morning offerings. Lord God, we pray that you would bless these offerings and bless those that have given and bless those that will be blessed through these offerings, that your glory would continue to shine forth in the blessing of your Spirit. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Do we truly give of what we have? What more are we willing to give up and offer to God? Have we given our all today to God? Can we give even more? Pastor Eric gave us some good points to think about in this coming week. Our closing song is called Surrender, and following the spoken benediction, we will sing We are an offering.
May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds stayed on Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.